Happy Sabbath, Tallahassee First Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is good to see you today. It is good to be with you today. I bring you greetings on behalf of the Florida Conference Administration, Alan Machado, President, Elisa Ramming, Treasurer, and Tim Goff, Executive Secretary. I am very good colleagues and friends with your pastor, Pastor Joe. We go back about some 13 years now. Met him in the Tampa Bay area, and he has been the same faithful individual that he has been from those from those times. God is good. Your church is awesome. I was listening to the announcements just now, and I'm saying, man, this body of believers is doing so many things. And I actually wrote them down, you know, just so that you don't take things for granted. And there'll be a baby shower during the lunchtime. What did you call it? A diaper shower. I know it as a baby shower. There'll be a baby shower during lunchtime. You have your 6 p.m. Vespers, and then the Operation Christmas shoebox, I think. That's awesome stuff. And the Thanksgiving meal for the community is coming up. And then I saw something ran across the screen, advertising Pathfinders and Adventurers upcoming meetings. And you have a K-8 school. You know, sometimes when you're in the forest, you don't see the trees. You're doing wonderfully. No, there's always room for improvement. That's the biggest room in the house, usually, right? But don't ever take what you're doing for granted. Can the church say amen today? Amen. Never take what you're doing so far for granted. And of course, you know, the members are in this thing together, and you have a substantial leader in the person of your pastor. And we give God all the honor and praise and glory that is due to his name. Continue to be faithful. And continue to allow the Spirit of God to work in all that you are doing. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. There the Bible says, I mean, if you were here this morning, you probably can make a better connection, but I know the Spirit of God will still speak to you. Verses 19 and 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's the word of God. Amen. life as a steward. Life as a steward. Father, in the name and power of Jesus, open our hearts, open our minds to receive what your Spirit has to say to us in this moment, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As I consider this subject, this is the passage that came to mind. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This portion of Scripture really speaks to me. It is telling me that I do not belong to myself. I was bought at a price. God is my Lord. God is my Savior. And my life is in His hands. And the price at which I was bought was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I belong to Him. The last portion of verse 19 says, you are not your own. God created us. God rescued us from sin, and we belong to God. And anyone who accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior from sin belongs to Him. I want that to sink in your consciousness. When I answered the call to follow Jesus based upon what He did for me on the cross of Calvary, I made the choice to give my life to Him. And Galatians 2 and verse 20 explained that to me. There the Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ, the Apostle Paul says. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Christ gave Himself for me, and now, through His Holy Spirit's guidance and wisdom, I am, by the grace of God, giving myself for Him. That's how it works. My body and spirit are His. That means the whole of who I am. My entire being, internal and external, the whole of who I am belongs to God. There's no portions or parts of me that do not belong to God. I can't compartmentalize this thing and say on Tuesday, I belong to someone else or somewhere else. And then on Thursday, I belong to someone else or somewhere else. And then on Saturday, I belong to God. Every part of who I am and every day of my existence belong to God. This is the mindset, first and foremost, of a steward. You see, stewardship is managing the resources that belong to someone else. And so in the Christian journey, I belong to God. Therefore, my first and most important stewardship is that of myself, my life. If we are good stewards, if we are faithful stewards, we will seek to manage our lives first and foremost. And don't even think about butting into someone else's life before you look into your life. That's stewardship. The management of who I am for the glory of God. That is the most important stewardship. Are you getting this morning? When the enemy tries to entice me into doing things or being a certain way, which is antithetical to the one to whom I belong, I need to rely on his power to strengthen my life and living. I need his power to see me through. I cannot resist the enemy by myself. I cannot get away from him on my own. But the Spirit of God within me can give me strength to resist. What do you say today? He can give me strength to overcome. In fact, Paul says that Jesus told him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, he continues, "Most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." In other words, believers, if you glorify yourself in all that you can do, then you have no need for Jesus Christ. But if you acknowledge your inability and your need for him, then his strength in you will glorify him. And so because you belong to God, you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? What does this mean for the steward? What does this mean for the believer? I want to say a word here, firstly, about humility. And then I want to say a word about glorifying God. And then I'm going to talk about the price. This means, what does this mean for you as a steward? This means that the key factor in your life is for you to remain humble. The Spirit of God works well in an environment of humility. The more you allow this mind to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, the more the Spirit of God will work in you and through you. The interesting thing about humility is that it is not so much about what you do, but it is more about who you are. Humility. Who you became when you accepted Christ as your Savior, or who you are becoming as you are journeying with Christ. God is recreating in you the character of Jesus Christ. Or the word says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a bond servant and being born in the likeness of man and being found in the appearance of a man. He humbled himself, and by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. And Jesus is not calling you to go and die on an actual, literal, physical cross somewhere. Mm-mm. But what he is calling you to do is to take up your cross of self-denial and humility and follow him daily. This is the heart through which the Spirit of God can work powerfully. This is the life of the steward. Humility opens your life so the Spirit of God can dwell there. Hear me, somebody. Your heart seeks the heart of God. Your mind becomes attentive to the guidance of God. Your ears are open to the voice of God. Your hands are joined with the hands of Jesus. Your feet move in the way of your Savior and Lord. Humility ushers you in the presence of God. Humility opens you to the power of God. Humility sensitizes you to the grace of God and allows the love of God to work substantially in your life. We become humble through prayer and a yearning to do the will of God. It is even the Spirit himself who motivates and guides us toward humility as we seek him through prayer. He will lead us into the ways of humility. He will forge in us the humility which will allow the Spirit of God to work. And he will lead us to exemplify the love of God in our relationships with each other. Look at this beautiful picture of humility in the lives in whom the Spirit of God dwells. The Bible paints a beautiful picture here of humility in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Oh, beloved, when we choose to be humble, allowing the Spirit of God to accomplish his work in us, this paints a beautiful portrait of the love of God. This is what life as a steward looks like. Jesus has made a way for us. Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And then Paul picks it up in the book of Romans and declares, oh, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus showed us the way. In his humility, he made the way for us. The way of salvation and the way of self-denial. There is where the Spirit of God dwells. In the life that is humble, the life of a faithful steward. Beloved, there is power in the name of Jesus. Power to conquer our fears. Power to resist the enemy. Power to live in the Spirit, and power to remain humble. Power to live life as a steward of the King of Kings. This inevitably leads to glorifying God. What do you say? And in verse 20, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Since you were bought at a price, and you are not your own, and since you are the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, then glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belongs to God. The steward who is faithful lives to glorify God. How is your prayer life? How is your personal devotional life? Are you occupied with the stuff of this world 6 days per week and only have time for God on the seventh day Sabbath? That's a question. How often do you read the Word of God? Who gets the best quality of your time? Who gets the best quantity of your time? Where does God fit into your schedule? How can you describe or explain your relationship with God? Is God glorified sufficiently and substantially in your life? Whatever we do for Him, if it's not about glorifying Him, it doesn't matter. It will all come to naught one day. You see, just like humility, glorifying God is not so much about what you do, it is more importantly about who you are. And this speaks directly to our lives as stewards. Stewardship is more than what you do, it is who you are. First and foremost, if your life is not transformed by the love and grace of God, you will not be able to glorify God in how you live and in the things you do. God does not want your sacrifice if your heart is not in it. God does not want your works if your heart is not in it. God does not want singing and preaching and attending and working from you if your heart is not in it. I've come across some people in ministry and in the business of church. I've had to ask them, then why are you here? Grumbling and complaining all the time. Why are you here? David cried out to God in Psalm 51, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Here it is now, here it is now. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Can you get that? Can you see the strength and the meaning and the power in David's cry and feel that and experience that? The believer whose heart has been touched by the grace of God and moved by the love of God and transformed by the power of God, that person is living and walking in the glory of God. That person's life glorifies God. And Jesus said it in Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, you know, what use does it have? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you. No, glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus tells us who we are. He wasn't asking them. He's not asking us who we want to be. He affirms the fact that believers are salt and light. Some of us have allowed some things to come inside of us and dilute our saltiness. Some of us have allowed some things to come inside of us which make our light, it's just a flicker now. And not shining brightly through the presence and power of the Spirit of God. You are salt and light. And then he says, glorify God out of the salt that you are, the flavor that you are. Glorify God because you are light. You give direction and guidance in this world to the King of Kings. What do you say today? You do based upon who you are. That is why it is important for you to remember, recognize that you belong to God. Bought at a price. Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You are not your own. God is your Father. Jesus is your Savior. Holy Spirit is your strength and guide. Therefore, glorify God out of who you are. You're stewards of the King of Kings. Stewards of the King of Glory. Extraordinary. strong, capable. I heard my brother soliciting for volunteers in the announcement. You are extraordinary, strong, capable, precious, valuable, not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. You can do this. Glorify God. So glorify God in how you participate in the mission of God. What do you say? Glorify God in how you allow the Spirit to cleanse you from the inside out. Glorify God in how you submit to His will. Glorify God in how you humble yourselves. Glorify God in how you live during the week when you are not in this building. Body and spirit. That's your entire being. I'm almost finished now. Mind connected. Thoughts on Jesus. I'm talking about body and spirit. Hands and feet connected. Reaching out and working for Jesus. Body connected. Filled with the life of Jesus. Abide in me and I in you, he says. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do some things. Without me, you can do nothing. Your whole being, connection, mind, body, spirit, and the fruit you bear brings glory to God. What does that fruit look like? What does that fruit look like? Oh, come on, somebody. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Beloved, this is glorifying God. This is the life of the steward. And then, finally, that price. You can indeed humble yourselves, submit to Christ, for the Holy Spirit to continue residing in you and empowering your life because of the price that Jesus Christ paid. You can indeed glorify God in your body and in your spirit because of the price that Jesus paid. The price was his life, his death on the cross of Calvary. It is a death that sinners should have died. But he paid the price to redeem, to rescue sinners from the power and the penalty of sin. And he will come again to take his redeemed to their eternal home, to rescue them. Oh, beloved, to rescue them from the presence of sin. And so the person who paid the price for the steward and who empowers our stewardship is Jesus. The person to whom the steward belongs is Jesus. The person whom the steward worships and works for is Jesus. The brother who was calling for volunteers today, you're not working for him, you're working for Jesus. The person who motivates and activates the steward for service is Jesus. The person whom all honor and glory and power are due is Jesus. And so Romans chapter 8 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, the Apostle Paul says, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can the church say amen today? Life as a steward is about living in the power of the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so I say to somebody today, if you're here and you're not a member of this church, you're not a member of any other church, or you might be a member of another church, and you want to give this love of God an opportunity in your life. I'm not going to ask you to come up here and just raise your hand wherever you are so I can include you in this special prayer that I'm about to do. You're not a member here. You're not a member here. I see your hand, my brother. I see your hand, my sister. I want to include you in this special prayer. I want to pray that the love of God will find root in your heart, that your life will be so touched and moved by the grace and love of God that you eventually turn it all over to Jesus. Is there another person here today who want to give it all? Just give it all to Jesus. I tell you, I remember it was like yesterday when I gave it all to Jesus. I was a 20-year-old young man. And I haven't looked back since by the grace of God. Didn't know what I was about to do for the rest of my life. Didn't have any direction, any guidance, any hope of anything. But somebody introduced me to Jesus. And here I am today. I was a high school dropout, and today I have a doctorate for the cause of Jesus. I know what Jesus can do. Now everybody stand with me so we can pray together. Father, in the name and power of Jesus, those individuals who raised their hands, those two individuals who raised their hands, I pray that even now the power of your Holy Spirit will speak to them, and that this church will rally around them and love them into your kingdom. I pray, dear Lord, that even as the congregation stands, that you will take their stance this morning as an indication of them recommitting their lives to walk in the power of your love and your grace, to become and to be the stewards that you've called them to be. I place this congregation into your hands, dear God. I place the pastor and this leadership team and the members of this church into your loving embrace, dear Father. Lead them, dear God, to places where they walk on water. Lead them, dear God, to places where they remove mountains. Lead them, I pray, sweet Holy Spirit, to the place where they shine the light brilliantly in this community, this part of your vineyard. Bless, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Can the church say praise the Lord? Can the church say, thank you, Jesus? He's worthy. Hallelujah.